Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Tuesday. With the cloud of recent events, both in Israel and Ukraine, still hovering over us, no matter where we live in the world, no matter your sense of freedom or fear, the two chapters of 1 Samuel 4 and 5 seem amazingly relevant. Yesterday, we met Hannah and her miracle son, Samuel. Some years after those events, when Samuel was likely a young man, perhaps in his early 20s, the horrible prediction God had made about Eli the high priest and his two wicked sons became a terrifying reality. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 to 34. The 1 Samuel 4 record tells us the vicious Philistines who lived in what we know today as the Gaza Strip region of Israel refused to live peacefully with Israel, and frequent violent skirmishes turned to actual battlefield warfare. But this historic event, recorded for us in 1 Samuel 4 and 5, takes all biblical records of war to a new low. For on this occasion, the poor spiritual leadership of Eli and his priestly sons failed the nation of Israel, unlike at any other time in Israel's history. When the military battle plan was going badly, the elders of Israel appealed to Eli's sons for help, and the decision was made to send to the battle lines what they believed to be the great secret weapon of Israel, the sacred Ark of the Covenant. By God's instructions, this Ark had led the weaponless Israelites as they walked around Jericho more than 300 years before, and God had crashed down those Jericho walls, according to Joshua chapter 6. And the Ark had also been carried into the Jordan River by God's instructions, as God stopped the flow of the Jordan, so the Israelites could cross over from the desert into the land of God's promise, according to Joshua chapter 3. But at no time had God even hinted that this sacred ark containing the tablets of the covenant which Moses had brought down from Mount Sinai should be brought to the battlefield of war. The ark was not a weapon of warfare. It was a sacred part of the tabernacle of God's presence and the worship of the God of Israel. But desperate times call for desperate action, and while young Samuel watched, the ark was taken out of the most holy place of the tabernacle at Shiloh, I presume either by Eli's sons or certainly under their oversight. Nothing like this had ever happened in Israel before. Sadly, it's only one further step in the absolute disregard Eli's sons Hophni and Phinehas had for God, God's word, the Torah, the worship instructions God had given to Moses as recorded in Leviticus, and the priestly lineage going all the way back to Aaron. There's an important lesson here, my friends. Disaster and despair are usually at the end of the pathway of slow drift away from God. While God described priests Hophni and Phinehas as scoundrels in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, this defilement of the sacred ark and the most holy place was the ultimate in leadership failure and decadent defilement of God's worship. Naturally, with the ark's arrival, the Israelite soldiers experienced an adrenaline rush of confidence. But in their desperation, the Philistine warriors slaughtered 30,000 Israelite foot soldiers, and the Israelite army fled in fear and defeat, 1 Samuel chapter 4. Worse than that, the record says, the ark of God was captured. And true to God's warning, both priests Hophni and Phinehas, who evidently had accompanied the ark to the battlefield, died that day. God had clearly withdrawn his hand of protection from Israel's army and applied his hand of profound discipline upon the failed spiritual leadership. But the story doesn't end there. God was not yet finished. A runner came from the battlefield and shared the heartbreaking news with the people of Shiloh, and of course, an uproar arose. Hearing the cries of the people, old high priest Eli, who was nearly blind, cried out for an explanation, and the runner poured out the news to Eli with these dreadful words. Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. 1 Samuel 4, verse 17. Stunned by this news, Eli fell backward off his chair and died as his neck was broken. At the same time, his daughter-in-law, wife of Phinehas, went into early child labor and gave birth to her child. As she was dying, she named her son Ichabod and proclaimed, "The glory of the Lord has departed from Israel." 1 Samuel 4:19 to verse 21. I believe that moment in history was similar in spiritual significance for Israel as when God incarnate, Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross in the darkness, hovering over Jerusalem, proclaimed, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27. Israel's leadership in Samuel's day had totally turned away from God, as did Israel's leadership that Passover weekend when they sent Jesus to the cross to die. This stunning event challenges us to look closely at our own lives. Have we ever drifted, or more seriously, intentionally turned our back on God and experienced the withdrawal of God's presence from us? Ichabod. It's a profound declaration of darkness, and it's a preview of the place of the rebellious dead called Hades, and perhaps even a foretaste of hell and the total absence of God. With the dramatic events of that day, suddenly young Samuel was alone as a young man who was being prepared by God for such a time as this. We have no record of exactly what Samuel did in that crisis, but I suspect he spent extended time in the tabernacle, worshiping, praying, and seeking God's guidance for this Ichabod moment. May I ask what you and I do when we find ourselves in desperately dark times or places? Are you confident the throne room of God is open to you and the ultimate advocate, Jesus, is at the right hand of God, ready to intercede for your situation and for you? Romans chapter 8, verse 34. The focus of this remarkable story turns suddenly from Samuel to following the captured ark into Philistine territory. And as you read 1 Samuel 5, you'll be shocked to discover the Philistines took the ark to one of their five main cities, Ashdod, and placed it into the temple of their false god, Dagon. Yes, that is the same town, Ashdod, that we hear often in reports coming to us from Israel in recent months. The man-made statue Dagon fell over on its face before the Ark of God, not once but twice, and people started getting sick and dying in Ashdod as God's powerful judgment fell on that city, according to 1 Samuel chapter 5. In great fear, the people sent the Ark to Gat, another of the Philistine great cities, and God's judgment came on that city, causing fear and death. So the Philistines sent the Ark to Ekron, with similar judgment results. Fear, illness, and death followed the ark in Philistine territory, no matter where it was taken, as God's judgment fell upon them. These two chapters are a picture, my friends, a frightening, terrifying picture of what happens when holy, almighty God pours out his judgment upon any people who mock and defile his holiness, be they pagans or God's people. It's vital we understand this, and so we pause here to reflect deeply and consider how close this place where you live might be to such an outpouring of God's judgment.